All right, my friends. So the time has come. The United States is getting ready to go to war with Lebanon. And this time it's for real. They are currently rushing a flotilla of warships to be ready off the coast of Lebanon to unwaveringly have Israel's back when they decide to start this incursion into the southern part of Lebanon, which is a done deal at this point, okay? And so despite all of the hand-wringing and the dog and pony show, good cop, bad cop theatrics that we've been fed lately when it comes to Netanyahu crying for weapons and the Americans pretending to push back as if there is any division on the matter whatsoever, they're going to war. Now, the leader of Hezbollah, the group, the primary group that they're going to be fighting in southern Lebanon, Hassan Nasrallah, had put out a incredibly animated and unusually emotional and inflammatory video today, statement, I should say, slash video, that essentially showcased how their intention is to take out Israel's strategic targets, namely their Dimona nuclear power plant, where, of course, they get the materials and the enriched uranium that they need to build their nuclear weapons. I have a sneaking suspicion that if this is the tactic that is utilized, this will give Israel the license they need to utilize the Samson option. The bunkers networks that Lebanon is going to use, and I should say Hezbollah, because, of course, there is resistance to Hezbollah within Lebanon, which they're probably going to try to leverage. I think they would love to foment some sort of civil war there. Whether or not they'll be able to do that is another story. But these bunkers are so extensive and so deep that there might be some call to utilize subterranean tactical nukes. I think if there ever was a situation where they would attempt to pull that off, of course, they would need the justification to do so. And what better justification than a violation of the Geneva Convention by Hezbollah to target the Israeli Dimona nuclear plant? I don't know why you would necessarily telegraph that. I mean, I realize it's a last-ditch deterrent tactic that Hezbollah is leveraging. What you need to know is that Hezbollah claims that they have intelligence on Israel's strategic assets, top secret intelligence. Now, some people, if you've been following the channel for a long time, you know that I made a video probably 6 months ago or so that talked about how October 7th was actually an intelligence gathering operation, that there was very credible reports ado with this being an intelligence operation by high-level intelligence agencies affiliated with the agencies, I guess you can't really call them. They're a little bit more informal, of course. These are IRGC-backed groups. But the point of that operation was not really to take hostages so much as it was to get information about Israel's strategic assets. And they were to do this through acquiring information at the military base that they infiltrated. Now, why this is so important is because if Hezbollah is in possession of some of this information and they're broadcasting that in a way to try to deter whatever it is that Israel and the United States is planning, because, of course, the United States are coming to Israel's back, and there doesn't appear to be any opposition whatsoever. And that is the interesting thing. The question really is, why now? Why now, all of a sudden, is there no opposition to Israel starting another war? Because I think timing is everything. And clearly, I've gotten the sense throughout this entire thing that they are stalling for some reason. They are postponing for some reason. Maybe it was just to accumulate the sheer amount of firepower that they were going to need. Maybe they're planning some massive blitzkrieg, big arrow maneuver, and it's been taking them much longer than expected in terms of the amount of weapons and supplies that they're going to need to do this. They state that their goal is only to push Hezbollah back 40 kilometers to the river. So that's likely how this is going to start, as a limited special military operation. That's how it's going to be justified, and that's how it's going to be diminished and minimized. But of course, there are so many, you cannot separate Hezbollah from Iran. So in destroying, if they are successful at all in taking out Hezbollah, which a lot of people don't think they will be, if 2006 was any indication, then it necessitates a war with Iran on some level, or Iran involvement, more high-level assassinations that are going to bring an Iranian response. And of course, when that happens, it just turns the entire region that is a powder keg into an explosion of hostilities. So I suspect that part of the reason why they waited until now, it may have something to do with the economy and the elections, but I'm not entirely sold on that. Fiscal quarter number two is very essential when it comes to elections, because that is the one that's going to be talked about. That's where you're going to get, you know, you're going to have the data on that come election time, not so much the third quarter by that time. So if they're showing that inflation has somewhat flattened, because of course the price of oil has somewhat stabilized at around $80 a barrel, then they can say, okay, maybe this is time for us to pull the plug, because even if the price of oil does spike in July, it is not necessarily going to be reflected in the data that the Democrats, are going to be referencing on their election campaign. Now, again, I think that those types of things, I don't really think they matter so much. So I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in that hypothesis. But it looks very likely that the only way a near peer adversary is going to be able to compete with us is to use asymmetrical tactics that likely defy the Geneva Convention in some way, and our response will likely be tit for tat. If not, if Gaza was any example, it is going to be tenfold worse, and Israel will utilize the Samson option, because what other option could they have? They simply don't have enough people in the country to defend the country. They simply don't have enough people in the country to fight a long attritional war without the help of the United States and surrounding countries. I mean, even to take down those 300 missiles and drones from Iran, they needed the help of all of these surrounding countries, plus the United States primarily. The United States shot down a lot of those drones and missiles, and Iran still was able to get some through. When you're talking about Hezbollah, who has capabilities in the tens of thousands, I don't know how many of those they can fire at any given time. Of course, Hezbollah has had a lot of time to identify weaknesses. They've demonstrated that they can have access aerially to pretty much most of Israel's strategic assets. So this means that this is going to be a different kind of war. Israel knows it. You're likely going to see a mass exodus from the country, and you're going to have the extrication of foreign nationals as well. That's what you're seeing right now with the Canadians, who are planning on extricating 45,000 people if things get really hot. And this is going to really diminish the Israeli economy. They're not going to be able to produce what they need, and they're not going to be able to import a lot of what they need, because the insurance premiums are going to be so high for any cargo ship that's wanting to go there. So all of the aid is going to have to come through the military, and you still have the Houthis, who are targeting ships every single day. They've they've contributed to a 400% rise in shipping container prices in just the last few months. Okay, we're almost nearing 2021 levels of this stuff. So things are going to get really, really crazy really, really soon. And it seems as though they've been stalling. They've been waiting for some reason, and now they're ready to go. And it's going to get ugly. And how the Russian axis and the Chinese axis factors into what's about to go down, it's anybody's best guess, because the Russians tend to be playing both sides of the fence to a certain extent with this one, although ultimately I would say, at least from a military standpoint, they are more aligned with the Iranian axis for sure. Obviously what's going on in Syria, they have a role there as well. But in terms of their sharing of some of their more sophisticated fighter jet technology with the Iranians and recent partnerships, strategic partnerships, it's looking very likely. And of course, the Iranians and the North Koreans are starting to buddy up as well. So, and, you know, the Iranians do supply the Russians with weapons. So the Russians have a vested interest in extending some possibly strategic assistance in the form of nuclear assistance to Iran if things get hot. And of course, there is the issue of the Iranians continuing to develop their nuclear program, which is percolating in the background. So that is what is going on today. In Congress today, they're also floating the idea of putting nukes back on B-52 bombers to fortify that leg of the nuclear triad. So, I mean, and this is because they claim that the Russians are no longer upholding the New START treaty, even though we are both doing it equally. Both the United States and Russia are equally non-compliant with New START. Who started it? I don't know. I mean, that story goes way back. But so that's what's going on, man. I mean, things are just getting wildly out of control. That's why I'm out here in horticulture heaven trying to get things ready to go. Not because I don't have food storage for 5 to 10 years. I just suspect that what could potentially be coming is going to be far, far worse. And your ability to grow food, the skill of having to do that, the skill of having to live off the land to nurture and cultivate and harvest things is going to be a skill that everybody should possess. Okay, I always have said that all preppers, if you continue on this arc, you are going to become a farmer. And here I am in a tractor on Saturday night doing this video. So things are about to get really, really crazy. The Dwight Eisenhower, USS Dwight Eisenhower strike carrier group, I believe it transited the Suez Canal, is currently already off the coast there. They also have nuclear submarines in the region, I don't doubt. So this situation could just get crazy, crazy out of control really, really fast. And talk about kicking a hornet's nest. You go to war with Hezbollah, that is going to bring all of the militants and the various factions and groups throughout the Middle East into that conflict, you can bet. And it's going to cause unrest throughout the region. It's likely going to pull different countries into the conflict and cause civil unrest in said countries, because the populations there are not going to support what their leaders are doing. And of course, I'm talking primarily about places like Egypt, where you could actually see some unrest arise if Egypt does get involved in this conflict. And of course, Cyprus, Turkey, they're not too far away as well. And, you know, that's just, you're getting into the Black Sea then. And I've suspected that part of the ploy in situating U.S. warships so close to the Black Sea could be that they are expecting that situation is going to get out of control, and that they want to have forces that are close by just in case. If you recall, when this whole thing started, when the U.S. started sending a bunch of warships in that region, I suspected that it had something to do with getting closer to Russia, because Russia is really the big play here. That is ultimately, at the end of the day, the big play. Yes, the oil is very important and all of these things. And don't get me wrong, China is the ultimate big play. But in the short term, it's Russia. of course, because of the nuclear question. And I mean, just look at the information that's coming out with respect to escalation on that front. I mean, I'm not even going to get into it today, but I've broken it down ad nauseum every single day. That's why I encourage people, watch the alert videos. If you want to stay on top of things, we were talking about this a long time ago. This is no surprise to me. The only surprise is the timing. Why did they decide to do it now? And why are they so unwavering suddenly in their support to Israel? Of course, we knew that they always were, but suddenly there is zero opposition whatsoever. They've just made the decision arbitrarily, it seems, as it always is, though, right? I mean, that's how these things are. So anyways, guys, if you want to support the channel, go and check out CanadianPreparedness.com. We only get you the good stuff that you need. And we got a lot of great deals on right now because there's some places that are liquidating certain products. And I talked about one of those in the last video. I'll post a link in the description. There are these power banks that we got like this door crasher deal on, and we're forwarding those savings on to you because they're moving into the macro preparedness space. It's a company called Zendure who makes off-grid power solutions. And they're focusing primarily now on whole home solutions. So they're getting away from the small scale power bank stuff. And we got some great deals there, but you can find everything that you need there. Primarily, what you want to be focusing on right now is you definitely want to be, first and foremost, gaining a proficiency in firearms, okay, for the purpose of target shooting and hunting. That's what we have to say here in Canada. And, but I mean that, target shooting and hunting, okay? Yeah. And then you want to learn, of course, how to grow your own food. That is essential. Just put a few seeds in the garden, play around with it for a little bit. We got tons of videos on that. You have to get out there and do this stuff. And quite honestly, it's fun. It's therapeutic. I mean, there's nothing I love more than just being out here doing stuff on the farm. It is incredible. Animal husbandry is something we haven't gotten into yet, but hunting is something you're going to also want to explore as soon as possible. There is a hunting season coming up. Take advantage of it. Stockpiling food. Yes, at every turn, you should be stockpiling food. I was speaking with George Gammon on his podcast on the Rebel Capitalist the other day, and you know, we were talking about how it doesn't matter how much money you have. It really doesn't, because when the lights go out, when the police can no longer respond, whatever money you have in the bank, whatever resources you have, stocks, bonds, and various assets and deeds and titles, and none of that shit's going to matter, okay? That only matters because we have this very complex civilization that we've created, and there's law and order. As soon as there ceases to be law and order, those billionaires, their assets, their wealth is not going to mean a damn thing. For starters, it's all zeros and ones on a computer, which if the computers don't turn back on, you know, if they're not holding precious metals or something of real tangible value, none of it is going to matter. So this is why SHTF is really a great equalizer of sorts. It's a reset. It's an opportunity for people to really show who they are and what they're made of. And if it does come to that, which the probability is there, okay, that it could, we could go full on nuclear war at this point. You're going to have these skills, just in a way. I'm no expert. Anybody who's been following the channel, we've touched on every possible aspect of preparedness. But I'm an expert in none of these things. I'm still learning a lot of these things. And it's funny, when you actually start doing something and really taking it seriously and doing it, like building out a large self-sustainable garden, it's very humbling. And what you think you knew, even though I'm not a person to be arrogant about the things that I know and claim that I know more than I do, but there's always this... How can you say, you just have a greater sense of what your weaknesses are. And even though you're way more prepared than you used to be, I'm way more prepared now than I used to be, but I also know all the vulnerabilities. So, you know, where I might have been a bit more cocky before because I wasn't aware of all the different vulnerabilities, you know, that was a nice place to be mentally. But in terms of how prepared was I was not prepared. So getting your health in check at this point in time is absolutely crucial. Stockpiling all the medications that you might need, you know, ammunition, and that's going to continue to go up in price. If there is any glut in ammunition, pick it up. You know, what we're seeing right now up here is the prices, I think, the prices are out of control, but I think they went down a bit in the United States. But that is going to change very, very soon. In fact, I think part of the reason why the prices have maybe stabilized a little bit is because people just couldn't afford it anymore. So they were just selling it for too much. It was not even so much an issue of supply and demand. It was more just people couldn't afford it. So anyways, stock up on that kind of stuff. Figure out a communication strategy. Get a plan of action. Work out all the security bugs. You know, have a plan of escaping the city if you do live in the city. And we have videos on all of these things, guys. So be sure to comb through the archives. And we try to make those videos as timeless and evergreen as possible, so they're just as valid today as they were years ago when we first made them. So I think this is it. I think things are about to get pretty crazy in the world. And I would not be surprised, however, if there was a paper slam on oil or precious metals or something, one last Hail Mary attempt to suppress the truth about what is going on. And this, of course, would be an opportunity for somebody if they were an opportunist in that respect. Anyways, let me know what your thoughts are in the comment section. What are you guys doing right now in light of the way that all of these theaters of conflict, from the Korean Peninsula to Taiwan, who just spotted 41 Chinese warships just the other day, and today, I guess it was. You know, how are you preparing for this? What are you doing? What are you doing this summer? Are you using this time wisely to get yourself familiar with the horticultural practices that you're going to need in order to ride out any, be it a long-winded, attritional, slow burn, SHTF, or an abrupt one? Let me know in the comment section below. Stay safe. Thanks for watching Canadian Prep Pro.